welcome to episode 103 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's something you'd like to hear more about, let us know. My name is Lindsay, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Laura, and Elizabeth. In September, several of us Outlander agents attended our annual conference in sunny San Diego, Coronado Island to be specific. We got to do a little bit of sightseeing, even though our schedules were jam-packed, so we wanted to give you an overview of why you should visit and throw in a couple other Southern California attractions while we're at it. So let's get started.
And I just need to interrupt and say, we have to be honest, we got a very little time. Our conference was pretty intense, and so we took advantage of what we could, but it was very teeny,
we had such
little
high
bit
hopes.
Of time. Yes. Yeah. So, and I mean, if anybody listens regularly, you know me, and going to San Diego was sort of a dream come true as a brewery girl's, like, dream, and I went to one. So
because of me.
And it was because of Sandy. Go figure. Well, it wasn't because of you. I was going to go anyway.
Just saying. I just made it better.
Regret is that we didn't check off more breweries.
Yes.
Oh, well, that and we didn't swim with the otters, but...
But we couldn't, because totally we would have had we been able to.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that experience a little bit?
Sure. Nurtured by Nature is in Northern San Diego, and they have the most wonderful, magical program in the whole entire world. If you're having a down life, you really need to try this. You can get online and check out the videos, but they're actually people swimming with otters. The most adorable, fluffy little river otters I've ever seen in my whole life. And they're all smiling. Everybody's happy. I'm convinced this has got to be like the Fountain of Youth or the Holy Grail. Of,
Lindsay, do they declaw them?
I mean... I'm sure they do. And they take their teeth out, too. I'm absolutely positive.
I'm sure it's perfectly safe. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Just like my wolf visit yeah. was perfectly safe. Actually, I hope Walter's not listening to this because he's going to be like, well, you should go swim with otters. I've seen pictures of Nathan Fillion doing this. Yes.
Such a geek.
Yes.
A couple things you should know if you want to try and do this. Their website is nurturedbynature.org, or you can contact any of us and we'd be glad to try and help you out further. But there is a wait list for otter encounters. They're actually all booked up into 2017, and they don't know when the 2018, they haven't announced 2018's calendar yet, so...
Good Lord.
So really, if somebody had died by otters by now, we would have heard about it.
Yeah. Enough people have done this to where we can safely right. say it's...
Well, when I find a place that lets me go hugging hippos, y'all just...
No.
I'm not saying
no.
I'll be there with you, Sandy.
Thank you.
And baby elephants.
And manatees.
By your next of kin.
Oh, you can totally swim with manatees. I know somebody who did that. Maureen did that, who was on our guest. She was our guest for the Malta podcast.
They have swimming with manatees down in Florida.
Yeah, absolutely.
That with E.
Absolutely. Manatees are like, they're gentle. I mean, the worst they can do to you is bump into you. Which,
well, that's
I mean,
what hippos her, look like.
I'm going to have to show you a video of a hippo attacking. We're gonna,
and then I'll find you the video
Heidi,
of the otters attacking.
Heidi, if you can put like something in the show notes of a video of hippos attacking, I'd be most eternally grateful because Sandy will be horrified.
I just remember this story.
Odds of surviving an otter attack.
Yeah.
Because this woman got too close to a nest of otters babies, and she got mauled by all the otters.
Okay. To be fair, when there's a lot of them, that's a lot of teeth and claws. Yeah. It's outnumbered, but one hippopotamus.
And it's mothers and babies.
Yes.
Yeah. Close to that mother's to that baby hippo, you know, you can just say bye bye to your family. Bye.
This is more like therapy. This is not a wild encounter
right.
with strange animals that have never been exposed to human beings.
It's one of those above ground pools too. It's like one of those like it's in your backyard in Pittsburgh kind of pools.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You scooped her.
See, it's, you know, it's better when I do it because if I get it out of the way.
It's just like when they let you swim the stingrays. You know,
yes.
they de-stung the stingrays. I'm sure they do the same thing with otters, honey.
Or they haven't destung them and you just hope for the best, but that's really, it's very rare. I mean, it is very rare.
At SeaWorld and stuff, they've destung the stingrays.
And honestly, the otters that you're swimming with are they're probably raised in captivity. I don't know for sure. And to be fair, we didn't do this because I didn't hear about it until like 2 months before we were going. And by then, yeah, totally sold out. When I looked at the website in August, they were sold out through September of next year.
Wow.
So.
And it's $300. So
one thing we can say about San Diego is the weather is beautiful.
Yes. Oh God, it was so perfect.
Yes, it was.
And it's supposed to be like that all the time.
Although I will say it wasn't as warm as I expected it to be. So if
that's
you
what
are
made it nice.
Yes,
I mean,
I think if you're expecting that the Southern California is hot, it's actually not. It was quite.
I think coming from the East Coast, the lack of humidity just makes everything so much nicer. Oh, it was so good. I took a run a couple times, and it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Really
nice. That's like the first vacation I've been on with you in a while where you...
I know, like, I haven't been doing it that much, but...
Actually run?
Yeah, actually
she talks about it every time.
A lot of times I bring my stuff and I don't run, so this time I only brought one set of running clothes, and then I wanted to run again because it was so awesome. I got up so early because I was on East Coast time, so it was like 5 a.m. when I woke up, and so I got out there, but it was still dark out, but... There was a running path on the island right outside our hotel, and there were people on bikes passing me and stuff. It felt totally safe, and then I got to see the sunrise over the bay, and it was mm-hmm. gorgeous. So then I had to wash all my running clothes so I could wear them again in a couple days so I could go for another run. So I don't know what that tells me. Either I bring too much stuff or I don't bring enough.
San Diego is a really unusual city. It has a beautiful skyline. If you're into city skylines, which I am, I really like big cities and those skylines. But it's got an old town, and it's got all these parts and pieces, and it's on the water. And then with the Navy base there, it's sort of this. There's all sorts of things going on around there, and it's very close to Mexico.
No, we should have gone. No. Everybody left their passports at home except Lindsay.
Because we knew that Sandy would talk us into going to Tijuana.
We should have gone to
Tijuana. We didn't go. No. Although if you want to go to Tijuana, audience, you go right ahead.
It's pretty close. It was like 15. Actually, when I was coming home from dinner, our Uber driver was showing us how where the border was and how it was like Mexican Uber right on the other side. So you can still go across and use your Uber, you know.
You can still use the same Uber, or they just transfer
it's
you?
It's your Uber. When you have the Uber app and you're in Mexico, it's Mexican Uber. So
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Learned something new every podcast.
Yes.
So, Sandy.
Sorry, but do you know the rules with the Uber? So does Uber have to drop you at the border and then you pick up an Uber at the border?
Yeah, that guy wasn't going to drive us into Mexico. He said he couldn't. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought. The way you said that, I was like, so he was free. He was like, I'm not going to Tijuana.
Yeah, and maybe this is a bad misconception for a travel agent to have. And please, you guys, slap my hand and correct me. But I'm not feeling really happy and like joyful about getting an Uber in Tijuana.
Well,
I'm not sure I'm happy and joyful about doing anything in Tijuana, honestly.
When I was 19, my cousin took me and my friend to Tijuana, and we parked on the American side and we walked across the border crossing, and we got a cab to the city part, but it was really only like a 5-minute drive. On the way back, we just walked. They put the three of us in the cab, and then they piled like as many more people as they possibly could into the cab. And the front seat was one of those benches, so there was someone that could sit in the middle, but there was no back to where they were sitting. So it's like so sketchy. I would much rather have an Uber than another cab.
Well, that was a long time ago.
That was in the 90s.
Yeah, honestly have to say, I have no idea what Tijuana is like now, and I don't mean to disparage it in any way, but I've just heard of so many horror stories, and to me, it's just like, it's just not a place that I wish to go. It's not on my bucket
safely
list.
It would have been just to see what it would look like now, because, you know, I remember, like, you know, donkeys painted like zebras,
it seems like south of the border was sort of a takeoff on Tijuana.
Yeah,
exactly. South of the border being the North Carolina, South Carolina border, cheesy place where you can stop. Yeah. So, and I definitely have heard wonderful stories about Tijuana and, you know, the fun that could be had there. And I mean, it's sort of like this New Orleans meets something really.
I don't know what it's like now. It was, we were only there in the daytime. We came back before it got dark or anything, but, I mean, it was fun. It was definitely happening, and we bought a lot of souvenirs, and I didn't even take my driver's license with me back then.
Oh, yeah.
And now I could just walk back across the border because nobody questioned me.
I would love to go back to San Diego and stay in Coronado again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was nice.
If you loved water sports, that was your place to be.
Oh, the marina? Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't just, you know, your typical kind of sea-doo thing. They had kayaking. They had paddle boarding. They had all different sailing options. One where they would teach you. One where they would take you out. Sunset Cruises one. They had this kind of cool one that I almost had Elizabeth talked into. That I call kind of like a mobile sunbather. That looks like looked like an old paddle boat with like mesh hammocks on it, and then there was a cooler in between, and it was electric.
Really?
If I could have taken my laptop out there and gotten some work done, you would have convinced me.
There were just two like hammocky things on it, and you electriced around the bay in it, so you could have your drinks and your sun and sightseeing kind of all at once. But the bay was just beautiful. It was just beautiful out there.
I'm kind of glad we didn't know about that, Sandy. We might not have gone to all those classes.
You know what? And I really wish I could have gotten out on the water. And that was really just my work ethic. I mean, while you guys, and maybe this is a good segue, while you guys went and visited the zoo, Robin and I sat by the pool and worked. And Laura joined us for some of that time. And then she worked. And she was working, too. So, yeah, the three of us were just like, working
by the pool. She throws us under the bus.
Because we were by the pool. It did not suck.
Zoo, like 6-year olds.
If people want to book the zoo, we can tell them about it. We can book it for them.
So tell us about it, because Laura and I sure didn't go. We were working.
So tell us about it. The zoo, everyone kept saying, oh, you're going to love it. It's the best zoo. It's a really good zoo. It's got a lot of attraction kind of things. Like there's a Skyway ride. There's a bus ride that goes around the zoo. There's really cool.
What is the Skyway ride?
It's basically one of those bucket rides that takes you from one end to the other. It's just a way to get around.
Do you go like over the lion cage and stuff? Is it?
I couldn't see any animals, but then we did kind of land. I forget what that. I think it was an anteater that was right there when we landed. Lindsay was terrified.
We landed on an anteater.
I was spending the whole time laughing at Lindsay.
I was so terrified. Scared. There was a moment when we got on that it like jerked really suddenly, and I grabbed the pole in the center, and then that was it. She just laughed at me the whole rest.
Yeah, she made me ride backwards.
Well, one of the other agent groups that was there came back, and they like all had their pictures taken. Yeah. Supposedly holding pandas.
Was it like a magic shot?
Was that a big deal at that zoo?
That's a green screen opportunity.
I know, but I'm saying, are there a lot of pandas there?
Oh, there were pandas.
I think there's only two zoos in the United States with pandas, right? I know the Washington, D.C., the zoo there. And
I really don't know for
it's
sure.
It's very
but,
rare, yeah.
Yeah, but they were super cute. And then there was a really cool program they had where they paired a cheetah cub with a dog, and the dog became like the trainer for the cheetah cub. And so they were together, and then they take them as ambassadors to the zoo to take to people to learn about it.
That was probably the most, I don't know, we spent quite a bit of time over there. That was, I think, the coolest thing.
Did you get to pet a cheetah?
No. Oh. But we watched the girl who was their trainer feeding them. She walked in, she put the bowl down, the cheetah eats it up, and then she's playing with the dog. And it was kind of strange, though, because the cheetah kept licking her, and she kept kind of, you know, holding him back, but letting him lick her. And I felt like the cheetah was tasting her. Here in North Carolina, we have this really good large cat preserve, and they rescue a lot of large cats that have been, pets that people can't take care of anymore, or in like these really small, ridiculous zoos where they are on a concrete pad their whole life and stuff like that. And whenever you do their tour, they tell you they never get in the cage, no matter how friendly these cats are with them. And so, you know, I always think about that. And, you know, and they also told us never to do one of those things like in a mall where you can take your picture with a baby tiger or something, because that's like leading them into this life of, because once they get bigger, they can't do that anymore. And then they just end up in a cage their whole life. So, yeah. So I always kind of think about that, but I trust this zoo. I mean, I think that this zoo is like the gold standard of conservation and programs that they do. What was the animal, Lindsay, that they said was like virtually extinct? There were no more, but they
except were, in oh
it's like a rhino or something. But basically, they were able to genetically not modify, but they were able to harvest like eggs and sperm and stuff from enough that were left in the world that they were diverse enough that they could produce, and it wasn't like they were intermating mm-hmm. or whatever. And so they're, if it works, which they won't know for a year or two if it works, but they'll bring them back from extinction, which is really cool.
Wow. And they have the only elephant hospital in the United States.
Really?
Which is
and
really
spa. They have an elephant
That's
spa.
That's really cool.
That is very cool.
Yeah. So
it was really neat. We got to go by it and see kind of the stations we're in. I guess they were saying it's kind of like a spa and they love to go in there because they get rubbed down and they get bathed. But elephants from zoos from all over the country and preserves from all over come to get treated here. It was like a cancer. There was like a cancer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's very neat. Their conservation efforts and their the medical efforts, I think it really is the gold standard. And this year was their 100th anniversary.
Oh, yeah, that was
so
cool.
We got to visit at a really great time, which, I mean, I've wanted to visit the zoo since I was in third grade. This was on my child bucket list, and it did not disappoint. I can't wait to see. They're opening a big, what is it, African or Madagascar? What is the reserve center in the section in the center that they're building, Sandy?
Oh, I can't remember.
What it's called? They're building a giant reserve in the center, and they're bringing in a lot more. There's going to be like lemurs and things like that, and that'll be open in 2017.
It was really hard to do the zoo in one day.
Yeah, that's what I've heard about it. And that's part of the reason I chose not to go. Mm-hmm. Although I will say, I do regret that, because that's something actually my mother too was like, when we planned when I was 16, we did a sort of West Coast trip, and we did pretty much San Francisco to Los Angeles. And then, we also did the Grand Canyon in Las Vegas. We didn't get down to San Diego, and my mom actually like harped about that a lot, to the point where we're like, whatever, San Diego, shut up. But I'd always wanted to go to San Diego, and it was actually a little frustrating to get there and then, you know, watch it from afar. Although Coronado is beautiful. I mean, there's no doubt.
Another thing, there was a sister zoo that's a safari park that you drive through, and that one looked really cool, but we didn't get to do that. But that's on my list for next time.
I feel like this trip was just a preview for our next longer, more in-depth trip to San Diego.
When we don't have a conference. Yeah, exactly. We don't have to work. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because
other thing I was thinking about was, you know, this might be not often thought of kind of honeymoon rate destination.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, to stay
at
either, you know, the Hotel Coronado where we had, you know, a beautiful dinner one night, or to stay at the Lowe's Coronado. You know, it's a beautiful hotel. It's very, you know, it's very kind of special, you know, special and romantic. And if you're especially if you're an outdoorsy person, if you're if you really love craft beers, if you, you know, like more the adventure side, and a couple who may not want to go international or go someplace where they need a passport, you know, it seemed like a pretty easy city to get an Uber to get a shuttle to be able to do a lot of things, some very nearby the hotels, and some not, you know, like you guys went to a Jewish deli one night. Who would have thought that? But
yeah, it was so good too. Yeah, it was so good.
You know, a lot of kind of unique, you know, and what is it? The Gaslight? The
Gaslamp. Yeah, which is old San Diego, basically, like old town San Diego. Yeah, there is a lot of history to San Diego, and I think, you know, I think now we sort of think of it as a Navy town, which it is, but, and I think as a honeymoon destination, what it offers is it has that beach destination with Coronado and the Coronado Island reminded me of like any sort of, I mean, the Outer Banks or like anywhere where you would go where it's basically just a beach town, but it's right next to this big city. So you have access to everything that San Diego has to offer as well, including the historic sites and all of that.
Yeah. It was a really cute downtown. Yeah. We went back there after we went to the brewery one night, and then we went back and had sushi the other night.
Yes. Which is where, so let's talk about the brewery a little bit. We should give them a shout out because they were awesome.
Oh yeah. Coronado Brewing. Yeah. They were at the Holly Springs Beer Festival like the Saturday before I left. There's a really good beer festival called Beericana. And so I told them we were going to be there. And so the guy gave me his card, and he was the liaison, I guess,
sales rep, basically.
Yeah, for this area. And he hooked us up, too. Yeah. It's really nice.
And I think, so Coronado is one of those beers that you actually probably can find in your local grocery store as well. They're distributed really widely, along with Stone, mm-hmm. which is one of the, I won't say grocery store, actually, your specialty beer store. Mm-hmm. Stone is another one that is centered in San Diego. And there are many, many more. I'm not even going to try to name all of them. But at first I was like, okay, well, we're going to go to Coronado cause it's close to our hotel. And this guy had sort of, you know, invited us and, but the food was really good and they always at a brewery. And I had a friend who used to say this to me, why would I go to a brewery if I can try their beer? You know, I can have their beer anywhere. There's always things at the brewery that you cannot get mm-hmm. elsewhere. They don't distribute everything that they make and especially their seasonal stuff. So there were about 15 beers on that menu.
I don't know. You guys both got flights though. I had the orange wit and it was really good. And then I was so pleased to keep seeing it at the other restaurants I went to while I was there. So I was really happy.
Yes, and you can't get that over here.
I have to thank Coronado Brewery for coming out with a beer that's not Michelob Light that Sandy would drink.
So oh, my gosh.
Mick Ultra, to be fair. That's what she drinks. Yes.
I will have you know that I drink... I can pretty much find something at any brewery.
She's drinking a Mick Ultra right now.
I always drink Mick Ultra.
I think San Diego is one of those places. One of my dreams is to lead a tour to just do breweries. And we've done a few very local ones, but I'd love to do one that's further away.
Yeah.
And San Diego is pretty much a no-brainer for where we might go because there are breweries that people are familiar with and then so many that people aren't. And I passed two, Mission Brewery is down there as well, and I passed two just on the way into town, just off the highway, which usually you don't see breweries from the highway. They're in, like, industrial parks and things, but they're pretty...
I think that would be a great trip, but not to give a plug for my little neck of the woods, but the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, my God. That's another one.
Washington beer is... amazing appearance here. So
yeah, no, that's, you're absolutely right. And that it is high on my list as well. Seattle has 1.5 million right around there. And then
I couldn't even begin. It would take days to name them all.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're starting to run out of time considering we didn't get very much done.
I know. We're like, oh, we got to throw in all of Southern California.
I want to talk a little bit about the Hotel Del Coronado, which, some of us got to have dinner there. And, and I know some of the other agents with our, organization went and toured. It's supposed to be haunted.
Now that'll get Chris over there.
Yeah, it's supposed to be haunted. Yeah. And honestly, when we went in, Robin said, you know, this elevator is so cool because it's one of those old, like, elevators where they pull the gate shut, you know, like Tower of Terror. And she's like the same elevator guy who was working there when she was there. She used to live in San Diego, like 10 years ago or whatever. She's like, it's the same guy. And it looked like he was like a day away from retirement. So, you know, it's very, very charming. You can't get into the elevator unless you are a hotel guest, but supposedly at least one of the rooms is haunted. And it definitely, so from the outside, the Del Coronado is the hotel that the Grand Floridian was styled after from the outside. And you walk up to it and you know, I mean, like as you drive by,
you can't miss it. Yeah, you can't. That's how it looks so familiar.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So very, I mean, it was just ripped straight from that outside, but inside is totally like we walked inside because I wanted to see, like, it doesn't look just like the Grand Floridian inside. And although the Grand Floridian does have sort of at least a mock elevator with that, the gate, at the Hotel Del Coronado, it seems to be the only elevator. It's definitely very different inside, a very different feel inside, not quite nearly as, the Grand Floridian is definitely, decorated for millions of guests to trek through, whereas the Del Coronado is not that kind of hotel. It's a much more exclusive.
I think it reminded me, the woodwork and the lighting and the lamp styles reminded me of the Grand Californian inside. Like, I think that
Pacific Northwest kind of feel.
Yeah,
interesting.
Like that. Like even the lighting when you come in, I took a picture of it because I swear I've seen that same exact or a replica of that lamp in Disneyland, and I just want to check next time I'm there.
Yeah,
and
absolutely. See
if I'm right about that.
It's a very old hotel and it's very upscale, despite the fact that it's haunted. Very upscale and sort of it used to be the only resort on the island, on Coronado Island. So definitely worth a stop. And you ate at the a restaurant.
The Boathouse was right across
the
street.
Is it related? Because it looks
It looks like it's got that theming on the outside. But when you go in, they had this really big picture of the island I don't know, maybe 100 years ago, but it was empty, you know, nothing else except the Hotel Del and then the boathouse where I was. So I don't know if they used to be connected in some way.
Well, it might have been the boathouse. It might have been the, sort of the marina for
it. I didn't read the menu or try to figure out the backstory of it, but yeah, it was definitely like at one point it was one of the two things on the island. So
we were walking back to the restaurant. Did you guys get that kind of boardwalky feel along the side? I kind of...
I could see that. Yeah, I could see that. I mean, it was definitely sort of seaside resort, you know. I didn't feel sort of the New Jersey boardwalk kind of Coney Island.
I'm not New Jersey boardwalk. I was thinking more like Disney boardwalk. Epcot, like Disney boardwalk. Do you think that's probably where that pulled a little from with the signage and the...
Yeah. I mean, I guess I could see that. I was too busy being social, which is rare for me. So.
Yeah. I know that the scallops and the pork belly will haunt my dreams forever. So whether or not the hotel is actually haunted, the food will haunt you. It's so good. So good.
It said it's been host to several presidents.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who stood there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and then so just to rush through this because we are sort of running out of time, but, San Diego is about 2 hours from Los Angeles, Anaheim, anything you want to do there. In fact, I think we toyed with the idea of going to Disneyland one night.
We tried so hard.
We
did. We talked.
We were begging.
We talked, but, and if it had been a little bit more practical, but it is about 2 hours and you can take a train. There's an Amtrak line that runs between the two very frequently. So if you're planning a Southern California vacation, it's very easy, despite what I said about my mother griping, because we also did San Francisco and, you can tie it into a, sort of Anaheim, Los Angeles vacation. So both Disneyland, and all of the theme parks in that area, Universal Studios, I actually stayed in Los Angeles for one night at the best hotel. Call me and I'll tell you about it. It was amazing. Right on the Walk of Fame. Not the best neighborhood by any stretch of the imagination, but wonderful sushi restaurant right next door. And it was these converted condos. So they were basically apartments. So I had a studio apartment that overlooked the Capitol Records building. Very, very LA, just super, super cool. And just a few minutes from from Burbank, from Disney Studios and all of the rest of it. So, and honestly, I got to go to Disney Studios, which was amazing, but Warner Brothers is right there too. And I kind of geeked out. You see the Warner Brothers Tower and you start singing the Animaniacs theme song. It's the Warner Brothers studio is amazing to look at because it looks exactly like it does in all those, like the beginning of every movie where you see that sort of like, what is it? Mirage sort of thing up here. Mm-hmm. Just very, very, very cool. I didn't get to go in, but I did eat lunch in Burbank. And Burbank is actually a very sort of walkable city. And you sort of walk around thinking, whoever's having lunch right there, they might be making the next big pilot or whatever. Yeah, it's sort of cool. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it was very fun. Very movie nerdy.
Another thing I want to just shout out real quick was we were lucky enough, and I need to thank United for this, but our United reps gave us passes to their club lounges while we were at our trade show. And so we got to try out the United club lounge and that was really nice. So something you should try if you have a long layover.
A longish layover.
It was definitely really nice.
I think, you know, the airport lounges, if you've never experienced one, that was something Robin and I were traveling together on the way back. And, so we partook in the lounge in Denver and, you know, you take that escalator, elevator, whatever it is, it's different in every airport up and you don't really notice how you leave the noise, but then when you're coming back down, it's amazing how much noisier and, you know,
bright.
The regular part of the airport is. So it can really help make your trip more pleasant. And it's usually included in an international business or first class fare. And then you can purchase day passes if you have layovers.
And if you have that particular airline's credit card, sometimes
that's sometimes that's included.
As a perk. Yep. It's worth checking into.
So, if we had more time to go to the breweries, Elizabeth, what would have been the one you would have wanted to go see?
Stone. Stone. Which, you know, honestly seems really lame because you can get Stone anywhere, but Stone is sort of the granddaddy of craft brewing. It's just one of the, and consistently good with some, and I can't even imagine what they actually have in their tap room that you can't get elsewhere. So yeah. And then I would follow that with Mission, and it's really only because I know of it. So that's the next thing that pops into my head. But there were, there were at least 20 that we could have visited that I sort of had plotted out depending on where we ended up. And then we didn't end up near any of them because
we were exhausted. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Host agency.
We just didn't have enough hours in our day.
Yeah.
Well, okay. And we work hard when we go on these business trips. That's a long trip.
I mean, you know,
we attended our classes. We did not skip. We were good students So.
Well, that was our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave the comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com. Well, that was our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com or subscribe to us at iTunes at Fly Away. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Sandy, Laura, Elizabeth, and myself, Lindsay, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.